just about to turn 41 years old on Wednesday. I'm tending to need to wear these a little bit more. And so Acts chapter 1. So if you have been here over the last few weeks, perhaps a couple of months, we began a new series on the book of Acts. And so, not A-X-E, I know it sounds in my Leicester accent like I'm saying Acts, but it's the book of Acts, okay? And so A-C-T-S. And so we've now gone, in a couple of months, all the way through chapter 1. And remember what we said, we're taking our time, amen? We're not looking to rush it, we're looking to see what the Lord has to say each week. And so we are taking our time. So we've just got to the end of Acts 1 before Christmas. And so what I'd like to do today is give a reading of the scripture that we've heard so far. So the whole of chapter 1, just to remind us what it says. We're then going to do a brief overview, and then we're going to have some discussion amongst ourselves. Amen. And so praise the Lord for that. And there'll definitely be things, as Demi says, that we're looking to take from the word to apply into our lives, because if we're not putting things into practice, then it's not really discipleship, amen? We don't just hear the word, we need to be doers of the word as well. We need to be applying to our life. And so let's read Acts chapter 1 this morning. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered round him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field where he fell headlong. His body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. 'For,' said Peter, 'it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted. Let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Verse 21. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. And so let's pray this morning, shall we? Yeah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Luke, who has authored and kept this record for us that stands as a witness of the activity of the early church. And we thank you, Lord, that we have made it all the way through to the end of chapter 1. And we have learned and gleaned and taken away and applied things to our life. And so we are thankful and grateful for that. And so, Lord, as we have just heard your word again, we are reminded of some of those things. And so, Lord, now as we hear an overview of that whole chapter, we ask, Lord God, that you would speak to us as a church. And that, Lord, as it's already been said, that as individuals for our application into our lives, Lord, would we hear something from you today that you are saying to each of us that we might apply into our lives. And so, Father, as your word has gone out, we say, may it not return void. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. So we've learned so far that the book of Acts is authored by Luke. Now Luke is the same Luke who wrote Luke's gospel, yes? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so Luke wasn't an eyewitness, but he is a historian. He is a fact finder. And so he somehow went around interviewing different people, gathering all the facts about the ministry of Jesus and the activity of the early church. And so we are thankful today for him that we have a record of truth about the ministry of Jesus in Luke's gospel, and then this in the book of Acts, which he continued to write and keep records for us. So praise the Lord for him. The interesting thing about Luke is that he is a doctor by trade. And so I've said before that he majors on the Holy Spirit. He talks about miracles and signs and wonders, yet he is still a doctor. Because one doesn't make the other one void, amen? It's both and. But interesting to note that he was a doctor, but he also believed and testified to the healing miracles of Jesus, to the transforming miracles of Jesus, and so on and so forth, amen? And so perhaps a well-respected guy in the society of his time. As we read through the rest of Acts and into some of the letters of Paul to the early church, we understand that he was a companion of the Apostle Paul. And so much of what is written in the book of Acts is because Luke was actually an eyewitness as he traveled with Paul. And so we're grateful that he did so. Amen. And so thanks to Luke, we have a record, as it says at the beginning of our verses this morning, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven. Praise the Lord. And thanks to Luke, we have a record of what the apostles and the early church said and did in their response to the instructions that they had been given by Jesus. Today we call it the Great Commission, don't we? Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them everything that I have ever commanded you. And so this is their response to those commands of Jesus, to preach the gospel to the whole world, to share Jesus, to represent him in the world. As we read Acts, we must bear that in mind, that they're not just doing what they thought they should do. They're not just doing something that they haven't received instruction about. These are acting in response to what Jesus has told them to do. Amen? And so praise the Lord that as we look through the book of Acts, we come to understand what it is that we might do as a church as well, amen? To impact the city of Leicester, to impact the county of Leicestershire, to impact our workplaces and our places of education and our neighbours and our communities and our towns and even further afield, amen? Is anybody excited by that this morning? Praise the Lord. And so we come to understand that this is the building of the church as Jesus promised, amen? In verse 2, the second half of that, we see about the instructions received by the apostles, that it was through the Holy Spirit that they received these instructions. And so if you remember back in week 2 of this series, we looked at the reminding work of the Holy Spirit. And so as we read God's word, we are reminded of the work of God. We are reminded of something of the Lord God, of Jesus, of the ministry of the church, etc. But we also, by the Holy Spirit, from time to time, are reminded of scriptures, amen, when we need them. We're reminded of a word that he's given us, amen, when we need it. We're reminded by the Holy Spirit, who brings things afresh to our minds that we might act on them in this present day. And so Jesus preached and taught many things to the apostles, who in turn were to share it with those who were being made into disciples. So as we move into Acts 2 this week, we're going to see at the end of Acts chapter 2, particularly verses 42 to 47, that large community of believers that forms, and the apostles are having to teach and to show them how to be disciples of Christ to over 3,000 people. And they would have needed the reminding work of the Holy Spirit to remember everything that Jesus commanded them. Amen. And so as we begin to see them doing this, we see the fruit of the reminding work of the Holy Spirit. In verse 3, we see about the prophesied about an expected Messiah of the Old Testament, which is now realized in Jesus, who is our suffering servant King. Amen. And so when we read the Gospels, we come to understand that Jesus is saying, I am the one who the Scriptures were pointing to all along. I am the one who God has sent. In fact, he even indicates that he is God, because God is Father and Son and Holy Spirit, the Godhead three in one, amen? That is the God who we worship in this place, and let us not be mistaken about it. But in verse 3, it indicates to us that after his suffering, he had to suffer, he had to die, he had to give his life before he was buried and he was risen again, and in the later verses before he ascended into heaven in chapter 1, amen? And so he tells us something here about our suffering servant King Jesus. And it talks about, as we looked at it one of the weeks, that there are many convincing proofs that Jesus was alive. And so we spent half of a sermon on one week just looking at the many convincing proofs that if we read through the Gospels and through Paul's letters, through the book of Acts, we can see how people came to understand that Jesus was now not dead, but in fact, he is alive, amen? None of you are listening because there was no response. Everybody's gone to sleep. Praise the Lord. The word goes out regardless, amen? When we get to verse 8, so we were talking about intentionally reaching the unreached, so non-Christians, non-believers, no matter who they are, no matter what belief they hold, no matter what outlook on life they hold, no matter where they've been, where they've come from, so on and so forth, regardless of gender or age or any of those things, everybody needs to be reached with the gospel, amen? And so by the time we get to verse 8, we see that Jesus is telling them that they've got to start in Jerusalem, but they've got to stretch out the ministry of the gospel to the whole entire world. And this is why it's key to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. Amen? And so we looked at intentionally reaching the unreached with the gospel in different places and contexts, but empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we don't just run off and do what we think we need to do. We don't just run off and start to say things and do things. We first of all need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. When we come into Acts chapter 2, and we're going to have the preaching of that over the next 3 or 4 weeks or so, we're going to hear about how they got empowered, equipped, enabled, and encouraged by the Holy Spirit of God who was promised all along. Amen. And so our need for the Holy Spirit is to give us very real power for life, worship, service, and mission. Amen. It's not just for the mission. We need Him for our lives. Amen. As we take our stand against sin, as we wrestle with the flesh, as we battle with sin that creeps upon us, as we battle with sin that looks to entangle us and slow us down in our journey with Christ, we need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, amen? Yes, we need Him to make disciples. Yes, we need Him to preach the gospel. Yes, we need Him to lead a service. Yes, we need Him even to welcome people well on the door on a Sunday morning. Yes, we need Him to be prepared in every activity of church. Yes, we need Him in every ministry of the church. Amen. And yes, we need Him if Leicester and Leicestershire are to be saved. Amen. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we found out as we went through Acts chapter 1, is for all people who would believe in Jesus. Amen? Amen? If you believe in Jesus, if you've accepted Him as your Lord and your Savior and your King, then you will receive the Holy Spirit. He will come and live on the inside of you. He will come and dwell on the inside of you. And you will become, that your body will become the very temple of God. Because it's no longer a building, it's no longer a physical structure, but it is in fact you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that is where we get our empowerment from, as He lives inside of us. As we have an interaction between Word and Spirit, as we have an interaction between prayer and Spirit, as we have an interaction between the community of the church and the Holy Spirit, we receive power and encouragement and enabling and equipping for all things. Amen? Praise the Lord. We receive His empowerment to share the gospel with difficult family members who didn't want to hear about it. Amen? We receive power when we're dealing with our difficult neighbors where we live. When we're trying to reach that colleague at work with the gospel, it's not us that we need, it's the power of the Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord for all things. And the promise is that if we believe in Jesus, we can have the Holy Spirit. In verses 9 to 11, we spent a whole sermon looking at the ascension and the return, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says that if He doesn't ascend, then we can't receive the Holy Spirit. So it was important that the physical Jesus ascended, amen, into heaven, that he is now sat at the right hand side of the Father in heaven, which is the place of ultimate power and authority, not just over one area, not just over a little bit, but over the whole universe. Because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. He is seated at the right hand side of the Father. But as the scripture indicates to us through the angels, he will return. And we were looking at the fact that he will return to make all things new. Amen. And ultimately that will end in Revelation 21, Revelation 22, where heaven comes to earth and everything is made brand new. Amen. Everything is made brand new. The former things will pass away and the new will come about. Everything will be made brand new in Christ. And so when we look at our world today, when we think about fires that have ravaged Los Angeles, amen, when we think about all the violence that we see on the news, when we think about things in our own lives that we're unable to wrestle with and think about, that are concerning us, that are causing us anxiety, all those fears that we have, we hold on to the fact, as those that are in Christ, that we have hope, amen, in the fact that he will return. He is coming back. But we also spoke about Luke chapter 12. Read it this week for a bit of homework, Luke chapter 12. We looked at the fact that because he's coming back, we as his people need to and must be ready to receive him, amen? We need to be ready to receive our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes back, he doesn't want to see us spending hours watching the TV. He doesn't want to see us spending hours on worldly things. He doesn't want to see us lazing around and asking us questions about why we didn't share the gospel, why we didn't do his work in the world, why did we only attend the church community now and again, and so on and so forth. Why did we never pick up our Bibles? Why did you never speak to me when I was sat in the most powerful place in the universe? We don't want to be on the receiving end of those things of Jesus. We need to be ready. We need to stay in touch with him. We need to be linked with him in prayer. We need to be linked with him in scripture. We need to be linked with him through the church community, amen? Because we cannot do it on our own. Let us not give up gathering together as some are in the habit of doing, amen? Don't let a Sunday morning or a link group or getting involved in a ministry of the church or gathering together with your Christian friends for encouragement even outside of this church community, do not let that be something that you take lightly. Amen? Don't take it lightly. When you're not here, other people are discouraged. Did you know that? When you're not here, other people are discouraged. When you're not here, you're not hearing the word. There's a danger that we need to be aware of today, which is being discipled by YouTube or social media. We need the church community. If COVID showed us anything, it was the need to be physically present, amen, with other believers. Zoom was fine for a time, but it's not good enough, is it? Physically present, engaging, serving, giving, interacting with other believers. That wasn't in the plan this morning, by the way. Verses 12 to 14, we looked at the obedience of the disciples to Jesus' commands. He says, go and wait in Jerusalem. So what do? They go and wait in Jerusalem. When Jesus gives a command, it's not a if you want to, it's not if you like, it's not maybe if you have time, it is a command, amen? And so it's something to follow. Another reason we need the power of the Holy Spirit, because it is not easy to follow the commands of Christ. Amen? We need that empowerment, and that's just being honest. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We looked at the importance of the upper room, this place where they gathered together, where they located themselves after the ascension. This group of scared apostles and women and likely children. There was about 120 of them. They were scared because their Lord and Savior had just been crucified and suffered and died in the most horrific way, and they could easily be next if they are connected with Him. Amen? And so they go and hide in this room, essentially. They go and wait in this room. They're scared. They're praying, waiting for what Jesus has promised them. But as we move on through the rest of the book of Acts, we go on to see how that group of people changed the world. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want church to just be something where I think that it's a building where I get together with a few other like-minded people for a couple of hours a week. For me, I want church to be where we realize the power we have by the Holy Spirit, where we realize the truth that we have in the Word of God that has been given to us, where we realize the strength that we can have in community as the believers that have been called to preach the gospel, to have faith, to share the Word, to change the world, amen? To bring transformation to our spheres of influence, to bring transformation in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit to the city of Leicester, amen? We've got to begin to believe this. We don't just want church to become, though these things are important, we don't just want it to become about business. We don't just want it to become about upkeeping a building. We don't just want it to become about meetings. We don't just want it to become about a constitution and a set of rules. We want to change the city of Leicester in the name of Jesus, amen. We want the city of Leicester to raise its hands high, calling out the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. They all joined constantly together in prayer. That's what they did in the upper room. They looked at prayer. We looked at prayer and how attentive that we are to it or not. And as a result, you were encouraged to sign up to join a link group. We're going to be talking more about link groups again soon. And then to finish, we looked at verses 15 to 26, the appointment of church leaders. And so we looked at the model of bi-level church leadership, which is elders and deacons, and we looked at the New Testament criteria for the both of them. So we looked at the New Testament criteria for elders, we looked at the New Testament criteria for deacons, and what we see largely is that God is not asking for perfection, because it does not exist, amen? So don't expect that of me, don't expect it of Benji, don't expect it of the deacons, because it ain't happening. We're not perfect, we don't claim to be. But there are certain criteria. And if we read through the criteria, most of it is to do with character, amen? Character, not skill, not ability, although that is in there, but most of it is to do with character. And so praise the Lord for that, amen? Okay, now over to you. So we're going to do something called looking up. So we're turning our attention back to the reading of Acts chapter 1. And we're going to look up. We're going to focus on the Lord. Amen? And so there's four questions there. What did you like? What did you find challenging? What does it teach about the Lord God? And what does it teach about people? And so wherever you're sat, you can move if you like. Wherever you're sat, why don't you turn around, speak to the people next to you, and answer these questions. Don't spend ages on one question. Keep trying to get through all four. I'm going to give you about sort of 7 to 10 minutes, something like that. And we're just going to discuss these questions together. And so let's go for it.